Chapter 13, Make Under Madness. When I open my eyes the next morning, I discover I've slept right through the pillaging of my closet. Half my outfits are splayed on the pink carpet, no longer in their original forms. Meaning my first day of school shirt is now a mini dress. My last year's green prom dress is now blue. My sandals are now strappy stilettos, and my running shoes are now heels. My sister sits in the eye of the tornado in just her underwear and a sequined top. I believe the top was once a necklace. Miri, what are you doing?
I have nothing to wear, she wails.
I stretch my arms above my head and yawn.
To what?
What do you mean, to what? To the Simsorta, to see Pra. I need to look pretty, and I have nothing pretty. Nothing.
Mom said we could go? I ask.
Kind of, she says. She said we weren't allowed to miss school for someone we barely know, but that we could go for the dancing. So we'll come home right after school, get ready, then go to Paris. But only if I have something to wear.
Calm down. We'll find you something nice. You'll come shopping with me and Wendelin today. We'll make you beautiful.
You scare me when you speak in syllables.
I cackle for effect. That afternoon, while we're waiting for Wendelin at Bloomie's, a woman in a black smock asks us if we'd like her to do our makeup.
Yes, start with her, I say, pushing Miri forward. She really needs it.
Miri shakes her head.
I don't wear makeup.
Do you want to look pretty or not? I ask, arms crossed. Have a seat, smock lady says. I promise not to bite. Miri hesitates.
Can you make it look really natural?
Absolutely. Miri reluctantly climbs onto the stool. I'll start with your eyes. You know, really make them pop, bring out the green. She peers at my sister's face.
She has brown eyes, I say quickly, like I do. I haven't agreed to have a colorblind makeup artist paint my sister, have I?
You haven't, Smock Lady says, picking out a thin brush. Your sister's eyes are definitely brown, but she has some gorgeous flecks of emerald I'm going to bring out.
Who knew?
I step toward one of the 700 mirrors and examine myself. Do I have flecks of emerald in my eyes, too? Is that one? No. There? Also no. It seems my eyes are fleckless. Smock Lady pulls out a palette, studies Miri, looks back at the colors, studies Miri again. I'm going to try a new shade called Perfectly Pretty on you. I love how all the shades have fun names. I flip over the containers to see what the other colors are called. Lady in the Water, Lucidity, A Dozen Roses.
Who comes up with these names anyway? I bet I could do it. That would be a fun job.
When I grow up, I want to be an eyeshadow namer.
Fun!
I turn back to Miri. Smock Lady applies eyeliner and mascara and then swings Miri's stool around to face one of the 700 mirrors. What do you think?
I don't know, she says, looking at herself. It's so makeup-y.
She'll take them, I exclaim. She looks amazing. Her eyes are popping all over town. What do you have in a lip gloss for her?
I don't need lip gloss, she says.
You do too, I say.
Don't you want to look kissable? She turns bright red.
I don't think she needs a blush, I say.
After Miri's done, I climb onto the stool and let Smock Lady do her magic. Use everything, I say. Mascara, shadow, blush, lip liner, the works. I've always wanted to see how to apply my makeup without getting that punched-in-the-eye look. When she's done, I admire my many reflections.
Yes.
She dusted my eyes in mauve and lined them in gray, and now they are popping. And I thought I had cheekbones before.
Ha!
Now I have cheekbones, rusty pink ones, and my lips, beautiful, glossy, kissable lips. Fantastic, I exclaim. I'll take them. Miri shakes her head.
Didn't Mom say we could only spend $200?
Mom was nice enough to hand me her credit card with the instruction that I could spend $200 on a new dress for Miri. But I'm sure that didn't include accessories, so I dismiss her with a wave of my hand. Don't worry, it'll be fine. I don't need a dress since I have the one I wore for prom. Miri raises an eyebrow.
What?
I say defensive. I'm not a celebrity, you know. I do wear things more than once.
While I'm charging the purchases, Gwendolyn arrives. She's wearing another ridiculous outfit. Red lace skirt, draping black velvet top. But at least she arrived by foot.
Don't you two look pretty?
She says. I curtsy, charge the makeup, and then lead the way up the escalator.
Okay, ladies, here's what we need.
I rub my hands together. I feel like a football coach. We are looking for a new dress for Miri. Something that shows off how cute she is. Something fun, something flirty, something...
To bring out my green eyes?
She bats her mascaraed lashes.
Not green, Miri. Fleckled with green, supposedly.
You mean flecked,
she says, rolling her eyes. Anyway, for Gwendolyn, we're looking for jeans, I say. Not too tight, not too flared, the perfect boot cut. She also needs some tops.
Can't I wear the shirt I have on with jeans?
She asks, gesturing to the black velvet number that is draped over her upper body. No, I say simply. You cannot.
And for me...
I thought you weren't getting anything,
Miri interrupts.
I'm keeping an open mind.
What do you need a dress for?
Gwendolyn asks. A guy named Fitch invited us to his sim.
No way! This Friday? On the Eiffel Tower? I'm invited too!
Yay!
Miri cheers.
We can all go together.
My whole family is invited, she says. My mom went to charm school with his mom.
No time for chatting, I say. Let's move. We'll meet back at the changing room in 15. Go team! The troops disperse. 15 minutes later, Gwendolyn returns with 3 pairs of jeans that are clearly wrong. Too big? Too low. Did I say bell bottoms? No, I did not. Miri also gets it wrong. The dresses she picked are the most awful pieces of clothing I have ever seen. Seriously, they're hideous. One has hot pink embroidered tulips, and one has fluorescent orange crinoline. Luckily, I have good taste and have made more appropriate selections. Unfortunately, I spent so much time finding clothes for them, I had time to pick out only 3 shirts and a pair of black jeans for myself. The black jeans are too advanced for Gwendolyn, but I've been noticing them on a bunch of the A-listers. For some reason, we all crowd into one dressing room. The jeans I picked out for Gwendolyn are perfect. They elongate her legs and make her butt look small.
They're so tight! She says, are you sure this is the right size?
Yes, I say adamantly. They stretch.
I hope so. They're not that comfortable. There's a button pushing into my stomach.
You have to get used to them. Now try on this top. I pass her 2 t-shirts, one long-sleeved and one short-sleeved. Layer them, I instruct. Miri slips on a red dress.
What are we supposed to wear for our samsorda?
Is Kesslyn Fizquin going to talk about that?
We all have to wear heliotrope dresses, Gwendolyn says.
I zip Miri up.
A what? Sounds like a circus act.
Purple,
Gwendolyn says.
Purple pink, like the flower. The color has magical properties. It supposedly enhances beauty.
If only I had known that last month. It would have been the perfect color for my back-to-school shirt.
Where do we get these dresses?
Miri asks.
Anywhere?
I'm not sure, Gwendolyn says. I have to wear my mom's. She's kept it preserved for 30 years, especially for my Sam.
Do you think Mom still has her dress?
Miri asks me.
I doubt it, I say. Although it could be in the cleaning closet. Anyway, we'd still need one new one. It's not like we could both wear it.
Dibs!
Miri calls. She's more than welcome to wear Mom's Windex-scented number, while I get myself something brand spanking new.
Fine with me, I say,
and then admire her reflection.
That looks sexy.
Miri pushes in front of the mirror and turns sideways.
It's too red. Makes me look like I'm trying too hard.
I roll my eyes. If you don't want it, let me try it on.
I can always zap it bigger if it's too small. Or ask for a larger size. Whichever. I turn to Gwendolyn to see how she's doing.
No, no, no. You have it on wrong, I bark. The short-sleeved shirt goes over the long-sleeved one.
Then you can see the sleeves, she says. Why would I do that?
I roll my eyes.
You're supposed to see the sleeves. That's the style. Switch it up.
She shrugs and pulls them both off.
Oh, my God.
Gwendolyn, you have huge boobs. I had no idea.
What cup size are you?
She models her bra in the mirror.
I must see.
You need to wear tighter shirts, I tell her as I shimmy into the red dress.
Nice.
Yes, I love it.
Why should I wear my old prom dress to the sim when I could be wearing this? And what if Miri's magical tantrum with my wardrobe this morning did any lasting damage? I need something new so I can look hot. Red hot. Do I want to look red hot? Why do I want to look red hot? Miri pulls her tulip number off the hanger.
That one looks fun,
Gwendolyn tells her.
Are you guys blind? I ask. Honestly, you are not even allowed to try that on.
I pull it out of her hand and throw it over the dressing room door.
That does not say pretty. That says fiasco. If it were an eyeshadow, that's what it would be called. Fiasco.
Try this on instead. I hand her a simple green silk dress. It's stunning and simple. She slips into it. I zip it up, and we both look in the mirror. Miri smiles at her own reflection.
Not bad, she says.
Not bad, I say dismissively. Please, it's gorgeous.
If it were an eyeshadow, it would be called, Gwendolyn winks.
Simply stunning.
Exactly. My game plan is destroyed on Sunday night. Mom freaks at the Bloomies receipts and makes me promise to return my new dress and the black jeans.
I said $200 total, she says.
Why does Miri get to keep all her stuff and I have to return everything?
Because you already have a dress you can wear. And you spent $100 on back-to-school clothes 2 weeks ago.
Oh, right. Prom dress it is, then. Perhaps with some magical modifications. On Monday, Gwendolyn wears her new jeans and t-shirt to school, and Cassandra ignores her.
Yay! I'm not sure if it's because Cassandra doesn't recognize her, or if she just discovered a new person to be rude and obnoxious to, but I don't care. I'm glad to have avoided another sticky situation. Tammy seems a bit distracted. How was your weekend? I asked during French. Wasn't Bosch in town?
Yeah, she says. It was good.
She sighs. What's wrong?
Can we have lunch today, just us? It was a bit of a weird weekend, and I so need to talk about it.
Sure, I say. Want to go down the street to Cozy's? She nods, relieved. At lunch, she dives right into it.
I really care about him, and I know he really cares about me, but he's only been gone for a few weeks, and it's already so tough.
Like, how? I ask.
Well, my moms won't let me go visit him, for one thing. They say I'm too young to stay overnight, which I understand.
I nod.
So I only get to see him when he comes into town. And how often can he come in? He doesn't want to miss out on all the college activities, and I don't want him to either. I just don't know what to do. Long distance is so hard. And we're in such different places right now. He has all these college friends and college jokes and college stuff. And I'm still here. And there's such a big age difference. I just wonder if we should break up.
I gasp. You can't break up. You guys are like the world's best couple. She takes a small bite of her turkey sandwich.
But we have nothing in common anymore. Nothing at all. We live in different worlds.
She sighs again.
I don't know what to do.
Can't you give it more time? I ask. Like, till Thanksgiving or something? She laughs.
They call that Black Monday, you know. When all the college freshmen go back to school after breaking up with their high school sweethearts on Thanksgiving.
Yikes, I say.
I know.
But I bet some of them work out. Not everyone breaks up with their high school boyfriends. Some people must get married. Like Raph and I. We are totally going to get married. Maybe. What's a little distance in a relationship? Raph and I don't share every detail of our lives, and we're fine. We're great.
Like one in a million couples, Tammy says. But maybe you're right. I can give it a few more weeks. At least a month.
A month sounds reasonable.
Thanks, Rachel, she says. You rock.
Yes, I do, I say, smiling. I'm a good friend. School is going well. I'm going to Paris. Life is good. On Wednesday, Wendolyn screws everything up. Tammy and I are walking to chemistry, which happens to be by the seniors' lockers. Wendolyn is on her way to bio. She waves to us, we wave to her. The three of us spot Cassandra in her all-in-black outfit, trendy new black jeans, like the ones I was forced to return, black running shoes, black sweater, black headband, simultaneously. Flanked by her posse, she closes her locker and then inserts a stick of bubblegum into her mouth. She tosses the wrapper on the floor. That's when Wendolyn does it. When she passes Cassandra's locker, she picks up the discarded wrapper, offers it to her, and says,
"You dropped this."
"No."
Clearly, Wendolyn is a masochist. Cassandra stares at Wendolyn as if she has three heads, four eyes, and a tail, or as if she's wearing her cloak and sitting on a broomstick. I'm afraid to move. It's like I'm paused.
"Why, thank you, Wendolyn," Cassandra says snidely, drawing out her name so that it sounds ridiculous.
She rips the paper out of Wendolyn's hand.
You're welcome,
she says, smiling self-consciously, and continues walking. Cassandra smoothly stops Wendolyn after a step.
Your hair is so long,
she says, patting Wendolyn's as if Wendolyn were a child.
It's like it's never been cut. How very unusual.
Her friends snicker, and the entire posse travels down the hall like a school of sharks. Wendolyn crosses the hall toward us.
See? She's not so bad.
That's when I see it. A wad of chewed gum lodged in her hair. Tammy and I gasp. Wendolyn asks,
What now?
Another sticky situation, courtesy of Wendolyn.